Our first reading, this prophecy from Jeremiah, it's a foundational text. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, the house of Israel are the tribes in the north, the house of Judah are the two tribes in the south. The Lord's saying that the day will come when there's a new covenant for all the people. And when we have this new covenant enacted, is at the Last Supper. When Jesus would use this phrase, this is the blood of the new covenant. Because it was that receiving the blood in the old covenant that united the people with the Lord. He says, I will be your God and you will be my people. There's nuptial imagery with that language. How intimate, how closely united God the Father wants to be with us. That he desires to share his life completely and fully with us. And he's promising it's going to happen. And that the law will no longer be those stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, but the law will now be written on our hearts. Again, showing the desire of our Father to be intimately connected with us. And so we rejoice in this. Rejoice in the fulfillment of this covenant that is true for us, and that every time we partake of the Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, we are once again renewing our covenantal contract, our covenantal pact with God the Father. Re-establishing ourselves as his people and allowing him to be our Lord. And so maybe this season of Lent has been a time of introspection and examination for you. That maybe there have been times where you've been drinking the blood of someone else. That you have given your heart to someone else. That you haven't been faithful to the covenantal promises that were made, either by you or on your behalf, when you became a Christian, when you became a Catholic. That the season of Lent is this time for renewal and restoration. That we allow the Lord, we invite the Lord to create a new heart, a clean heart within us. That all the excess, all the extra stuff goes away, so that once again, we can enter in fully, faithfully, fruitfully into this covenant with God the Father who loves us. Because this is what you are made for. This is the foundation of your life as coming into existence. God the Father desired that you be. He desired that you exist so that he could share his life with you. For no other reason, you exist. So that God who is love, God who is only love, could share himself with you. And through salvation history, there's been some starts and some stops. The very beginning, original sin, God came up with a plan that one day his son would come to rescue us from slavery. And it's through that son that the new covenant is made. It's through that son, through the life that that son gives us by his death, that we can once again have access to the Father. And so what a great coincidence, God's providence, that you're coming into the church this morning. This beautiful explanation of the desire of God to be one with us, to be one with you. And then this wonderful gospel passage, again, what a great coincidence. The Greeks came to Philip, we want to see Jesus. You may not have said those exact words, but that's what you told Chris Miller when you sent the email and made the phone call, had that appointment. I want to see Jesus, and I know where he is. He's in the Roman Catholic Church. What a beautiful testament. What a beautiful reminder for each one of us. Because we're created to be in communion with God the Father. And like these Greeks, we are created to seek the face of Jesus. So they said simply, we want to see Jesus. I would say, everything that you do Every action that you take, every thought that you hold on to, good, bad, ugly, whatever, you're trying to answer this desire to see the face of Jesus. So again, this season of Lent, of introspection, of prayer, of returning to the Father, have you come to realize where else you're seeking his face? The bottle, the pills, the dark side of the internet, or the mindless, endless scrolling through social media, the gossip at work, the gossip in the news, the gossip in the parish? Where are you trying to find something to bring life to you? Your heart yearns for Jesus. And these men in the gospel show us that this is the only way to find fulfillment. Our hearts, St. Jeremiah elsewhere says, our hearts are treacherous. That we're wild. That we're all over the place. But we're looking. We're thirsty for the one thing, the only thing that could satisfy us. And God loves you so much that he didn't let you go out on this wild search hoping that you find it. He sent his son to live among us and to die for us, to rise for us, to live in heaven forever for us. And with that, before he died, he called those men to himself. And that one man, Simon, who he called Peter, he built the church on Peter as the continuation, as the extension of the incarnation of his, but the presence of his body will last to the end of time in the Roman Catholic Church. And in this church, he gave sacraments as these avenues of grace so that what we're going to celebrate in 2 weeks with Easter Sunday, the new life that's possible in Christ, we can tap into that. We can receive that grace through the sacraments. It's the only way Jesus has given us to receive sanctifying grace, the stuff that gives us life. There's no other way that we know of, and not just we as Catholics, but we as humans. God sent his son to establish a church and to give that church sacraments so that we could be reunited with him, that the plan that was thwarted in the garden could make fruit in our life today. And this is why Anja's here, to be confirmed, to complete those graces of her baptism, where God poured himself into her, freed her from original sin, and made her a temple of the Holy Spirit. And today he's going to fill her with the Holy Spirit in the fullness of his power, so that all the gifts, all the charisms, all the grace will be powerfully present in your life. So that like the early church, you can go out, and when the people are out there scurrying around for the face of Jesus, you can say, I found him. Come with me, let me show you where he is. That's what Philip and Andrew did. So let's go find Jesus. And so who have been those people in your life that have brought you to Jesus? Praise God for them. Whether you were baptized as a child or as an adult, and you've strayed off the way a little bit, and someone has called you back, praise God for those Phillips and those Andrews in our lives that say, hey, you're doing all these bad things, but I know you're looking for Jesus. Come with me. Let me show you. This is the mission of the church. This is the great gift that we have. That we have the one thing that will solve every problem in the world. The Holy Eucharist. Jesus. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, here present among us. Do we believe this? Do we understand this? Do we know this? Do you know that you're looking for Jesus? Do you desire to see his face? Do you want to see his face more than anything else? Ask him for the grace to do that, to desire to see him. We were speaking about coming into the church and her experience in a different faith tradition. And there's, you know, some analogies that we can use, that maybe there's a big golf tournament going on somewhere, right? And maybe some of us are watching it on TV. Maybe some of us live close by and we can kind of look over the fence and see it. So we're experiencing some of the joy of this golf tournament. But unless you have a ticket, and if you have a nice ticket, you can sit in the stands. But you can enjoy the fullness of that tournament once you are inside. Yes, there's ways to experience part of it on the outside, but you can only experience the parts on the outside because of what's going on in the inside. She has decided she wants to partake of what's going on the inside. She wants the full experience of God's love and God's mercy. Many of us are raised in the faith, and oftentimes we're never invited to make a radical change in our life for Jesus. She's leaving behind some things, but she knows it's nothing compared to the one thing. Sadly, for us who were raised in the church, we can be just kind of used to it. This is just what we do and how we are. Whenever we experience someone who desires to be one with Jesus in his only church, it should reignite that flame of love within inside of us. To once again renounce all the junk in our life that we are allowing to give us a little bit of pleasure, we should once again desire to seek only and fully the face of Jesus, made present in his sacraments, made present in the liturgy. Because every time we come to Mass, we are face to face with Jesus. That we climb the hill of Calvary. The priest offers the sacrifice and then offers that sacrifice to the Father, reuniting or uniting us with the Son so that in heaven we can be with the Father. In just a few moments, I'm going to say, "Behold the Lamb of God." Look at the face of Jesus is another way I could say that. Look at the one thing that your heart yearns more than anything in the entire universe. The only thing that will ever satisfy you. He is here. We want to see Jesus. What a beautiful desire. Do you want to see Jesus?